more like a sharing session than a class. Usually in the chapel, you must have listened to many sermons about, you know, how we should serve God as a servant, what we should do, what kind of adjustment we need to, why is that important? But this class, the focus is very different. It's not about why we need to do it. It's more about, yes, we all understand that the importance to serve with a transformed life. But it's more about how. Yeah. We want it to be transformed, but how? So it's a very practical section. The topic, I actually stared at the topic for a long time. I thought this topic is meant for a pastor, you know. When you look at this topic, a servant after God's heart, you're going to go, no, that's not me. Oh, this is for our pastor. I cannot do it. Oh, no. I'm not at that level yet. There were many times I wanted to take them, go, no, this is too intimidating. But then I put it back. I took it down, put it back. Because I keep looking at the topic and thinking, this is exactly what I've been doing in the past 15 years. No, this is exactly. No other phrase could describe this more accurately. So I put it back. And I hope through the sharing, you know, we can all come to understanding what start the transformation. Back in 1998, my life was in big trouble. I was having a job issue at work. I was facing financial difficulties. I also have a marriage issue, a relationship issue with my husband. On top of it, I also have a health issue. And with so many things burning in my life, that drove me to kneel down and pray. You would choose to pray too, right? If you face those problems, whether it's a job issue. Job issue in itself is a big problem already. On top of it, if you have a relationship issue, on top of it, you have financial difficulties and health issue, you will pray. You will pray. And your prayer will go like this. Go, oh, God, help me, right? So that's what I did in 1998. Every day I kneel down and pray. But in those prayers, something very interesting happened. At that time, I couldn't figure out why. Every time when I kneel down to pray, I always pray for something that yelled the loudest on that day. If it was my relationship problem, then I pray for that. If it was a financial issue, I pray for that. But every time in that prayer, God always turned his attention toward my mind about my thoughts, my attitude. And I was, after I got out from prayer, I was very confused. I was going, no, I don't need adjustment on attitude. I have no time to learn any lesson, really. I'm being burned by all these issues. I have problem. I'm in the boiling water. Maybe I can seek after God and study and read Bible verses later, but not now. I don't need adjustment. Please save me, solve my problem. And this happened prayer after prayer after prayer. And then I go, oh, I feel God was not letting me go. The Holy Spirit was telling me, Caroline, your attitude is not right. Your thoughts are not right. Your thoughts are very dark. You have angry thoughts. You have bitter thoughts. You know. And since he was not letting me go, so I go, okay, why don't I try God's way? Instead of keep pressing God to solve my problem, why don't I just follow his instruction? What can I get out of it? So I begin to follow the instruction. The first thing that came to my attention was that my thoughts are not bright. I was very confused about bright. I was going, what's bright? Then I thought, oh, that means my thoughts are dark. But what is dark? What is so dark in my thoughts? Then I begin to look at the contents of my thoughts. Which part of my thoughts are dark? Then I begin to solve, I became so focused on what he wanted me to do, so focused. Every time, if I have 5 minutes break, then I keep thinking about my thoughts being dark. I was so focused to the point today, when I look back, since 1998, so that's about what, 16 years later? 16 years later, one thing shocked me, that I cannot pinpoint exactly what I did or on which date. All these problems disappeared. I didn't know how. One after another one. But I was so focused on following the instruction of Holy Spirit within me, I lost track of my problem. I didn't know how did that happen. But I was very, very focused. Every minute, even when I'm eating, I'm still thinking about my dark thoughts. Why God was so angry at me? Why? Every day my mind is about why, you know. So I thought that is very amazing. And in 1999, I started to pray and ask God to give me a chance to read Bible. Because I was working 80 hours work week during that time. I was working practically 7 days a week, including Saturday, because right after Sabbath service, I need to log into remote station to start working with a country in Asia. They are in different time zones. And I was going, I really have a heart. I have a burning desire that I want to get to know God better, but I just don't have time to even sleep. How would I have time to read Bible? So something miraculous happened. Something very interesting happened. That in 2003, I was able to leave my company. The job that I love with all my heart. I thought I was very good at doing that, you know. I go, every time I feel very talented, not at home, I feel very untalented, you know. I'm not very domestic. I feel extremely talented at work, only at work. So the moment when I left my company, I actually didn't know who am I. Because I don't know if I have any other value outside of the company. And in 2007, and since then I started to read Bible, you know, day and night. Every time I could find, I just read Bible and ask God to teach me. And after that, after I spent many years reading Bible, then I begin to have I had a wish. I wanted to be a servant of God. I noticed that many people serve at church, you know. And I was very envy. I envy that. I want to be a servant. So in my prayer, I still remember back in, I think starting from 2003, every time when I pray, I ask God, oh, can I be a servant? Will you recruit me? I really want to be a servant. And for some reason, the message was very clear. It was always a straight no, no. And I was very sad. I volunteer. I even set aside my time and my life. And I was denied. I was very hurt. I was going, if I use my time to work, I could earn a lot of money. And I'm not even making money. And God said no. Why? I was very hurt. But just no. And I keep on asking to the point that I go, okay, I will stop asking. I guess I probably was not ready at the time, you know. And I go, okay, God, if one day I receive enough training, let me know. Give me a sign. Give me a sign. And then I stop asking. Then I shifted my focus on studying Bible again. I continue to read. In 2007, I was not expecting anything. I didn't receive the sign that God gave me. Oh, I was in shock. I was going, wow. Because I told, in a prior prayer, I told God, I don't want to keep asking, you know, every day I ask 5 times, 10 times, you know. But if God, one day you change your mind, you send a person to tell me, you notify me, how about that, you know. So, something very beautiful happened. I think it's either in 2007 or 2009. I couldn't recall. And when I received that sign, I was going, I look back all the lessons that I learned prior to that. Then I realized that all the lessons I learned amounts to servitude, quite interesting. So I realized that, I understand why I wasn't ready at that point, because I had not learned the servitude training yet. So today I want to share with you the servitude training that God taught me. And I'm sure, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, I'm sure God will teach you, each one of you, the way that also transforms you. So this is not a standard, like a textbook answer. What am I sharing here? It's not a textbook answer. It's just one person's journey. That's it. You know. And what I learned, the lesson was that, actually, I didn't know. I was very contradicting. My direction is not same as God's direction. And that's my major problem. Direction is something very big. We are not talking about polishing your servitude, polishing your character. We are talking about something very big. And I realized that because I missed that big thing, that's why God cannot work through me. Because that big direction, imagine, because God is invisible. Now, if you could picture yourself walking this way, and God walking the opposite way, then during your servitude, you become very frustrated. You go, how come I cannot experience the abundance of God? Something wrong with me? What did I not do? Then you struggle, right? But you didn't see visually. You didn't see you are walking this way and God is heading that way. You didn't see that your biggest problem is because your direction is off. Then you go, how come, God? I thought God is almighty. The student I taught, they left church. The worker that I work with, you know, I don't work well with certain people. They're so challenged. The more I work, the less I feel God's abundance. What's wrong with me? But you didn't see because your direction is off. So today, we need to talk about the first item. Oh, wrong button. Sorry. Direction. Remember, direction is something very, very big. If you don't understand the direction, you are in trouble. If you are heading as a person, when we walk a different direction, opposite of God, we think, oh, I'm just lost, right? But in the spiritual world, it has a different spiritual meaning. Meaning that you are not looking for God. You are actually an instrument of another force. To make it clear, you are instrument of sin. You are opposing God's word. You are blocking God's grace. So, the first lesson I learned is, number one, don't block God's grace. If you cannot be a servant, okay? But don't block God's grace. God's merciful. He wants to show his mercy to all these students, but I block his grace. I feel so bad. How do I block? Because my direction is off. And why is my direction off? Because I fail to see. We are we are human beings. If you cannot see it, you don't know which way to make adjustment. Does that make sense? Your ability to see God's direction is very important. I still remember when Tiffany and Paulina, when they were in elementary school and high school, I struggled a lot about teaching them the Christian value. The longer I pray, it seems that they become very far from God. Is my prayer. Then I bought this cooking timer. I think what's wrong was the duration. the length of my prayer. So if I pray 15 minutes every day, no, I'm going to change it to 30 minutes. And then God was, I know, not long enough. I need to change it to 45 minutes. I still remember we have a carpet. I always pray on the same spot. I almost could see two knee pattern, you know, on the carpet. Still, did not work. What's wrong with my prayer? Make it longer. I keep on praying and praying, and it got worse and worse. You can see I have a very strange prayer. Then one day, I was still praying. Then a message came. I was in shock. I was going, what? It says, they cannot see God. They can, your children, they cannot see God. But they can see you. Because in my prayer, I always pray, God, please guide them, right? I think that's a standard prayer that every mother prays, right? Guide them. And that's the prayer that comes to the prayer. Yeah. Teacher pray, guide my children, guide my students, teach them, guide them, right? I think the same thing, guide them, teach them, right? And the longer I pray, then it becomes worse. So the message is saying, yeah, they cannot see God. You ask God to guide them, but they cannot see God, but they could see you. I was in shock. I still remember I was in the living room. I stood up from my prayer, go, what? What? Then the second question came to me was, what's wrong with me then? Then what's wrong with me? How come they live with me and they got worse and worse? What's wrong with me? It took me a long time every day. Whether I was eating, I was doing laundry, I was cooking, I thought, what's wrong with me? What did they see in me that they become worse? You know? And then I begin to make adjustments. In order to see God's direction, see God's direction. Number one, you need to understand God's heart. Then you're going to start crying. You go, how can I understand the heart of an invisible God? I cannot even understand my mother's heart, my dad's heart. How can I understand God's heart, right? Our biggest problem is you don't know. We don't understand how God convinces us. God used Bible verses to talk to us. I know sometimes they are a miracle. I know some people who don't know much verses and they pray and pray. God flesh them and that is called a miracle. But you cannot force God to do a miracle every day. So, God, I don't know much Bible verses, guide me, teach me, you know, what is your heart? Reveal to me what is your heart. No, they are all Bible verses. This verse is best describe God's heart. This is God's heart. When we look at our rebellious students, do you get a sign of heart? No. This verse really is just very rebellious. If it's not broken in church, it's going to be broken somewhere else. You know? I'm not your parents. How can I? Say this, change people's life. God never asks you to change people's life. If you study Bible, if you come across a verse that tells you, hey, this is your job to transform your students' life, please let me know. He never say that. He never asks you and me to transform. That is God's honor. He only asks us to do something that you and I hate to do. We don't like to do non-creative job. He asks us to water, non-creative, sun growing, water. I want to do something more creative. No, that's our job. But if your heart is not like that, your direction is different than God's direction. You're blocking God's work. God wants to show mercy to that verse 3, and you are so angry. You have a lot of thoughts, you have a lot of comments about us in this. You know, this is hard. You also, we also need to understand God's general will. When we say general will, It's something very big, very big. You need to understand a huge will first. That huge will is included in the prayer because the disciples, they didn't know how to pray. Jesus said, you just pray this prayer because that included his general will. It's about establishing the kingdom. It's about fulfilling God's kingdom first in you, so that his kingdom will be fulfilled in others. Our order is reversed. We want God's kingdom to fulfill in others first. God fulfill your kingdom. That's my own dream. No. The kingdom must be first fulfilled in you, so that it may be fulfilled through your transformed life in others. And that order is so precise. It's very, very, very precise. We also need to know how God wants you to see yourself. Because everyone's a different personality, different character. Doesn't matter how I see myself. Doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter how you see yourself. If you cannot see yourself the way God wanted you to see yourself, in the entire picture, God cannot work through you. So actually, it was very specific. In Book of Philippians is a very special book. Because in the four gospel book, you can learn about the ministry of Jesus, right? But in Book of Philippians, you get to see the inside, the heart of Jesus. That is described in Book of Philippians. And I chose this version specifically so you could really understand, meaning that this is a message version, meaning that if you ever receive any inspiration, any goodness, any kindness, anything wonderful from God, then you should do this. This is very basic. And at the bottom, think of yourself the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. Does it matter how you think of yourself? Yes, it matters. Think of yourself. And not only that it matters. This is the NIV version. It's about if you cannot adjust how you look at yourself, you cannot achieve the like-minded requirement. And that is a must requirement. And then, if you cannot do that, it also matters how you see others. Everything from starting from your perspective, how you see others. Yes, we focus on our action, but God is a spirit. If God is the one with, God's work is very deep. His job is very beautiful. Just now, I heard an analogy. I think it's a very good analogy of wearing braces. When you go to orthodontists, how they crank your braces every time to make different adjustments. This is a very good analogy so that you could visually see what is happening to you. However, God's work is deeper than that. It's very, very similar. It's very, very similar to that analogy. But it's deeper. In which way is deeper? The component of joy. Meaning that if you need to police yourself with God's work, with God's work. Sometimes, when we don't know how we police ourselves, with 10 commandments, I cannot do that. That's policing, right? Or sometimes you oppress yourself, that's a derailing, I cannot do that. It doesn't run very deep. It does not last very long, because human nature, no one can police yourself. And it's not pleasant. It's not joyful to police yourself. And it's against our human design. We just cannot police ourselves. God's work is to give you inspiration. That is so deep. That because of that deep inspiration, you want it to change.
And it's the process of change is going to be so joyful. The reason it's joyful because you understand the guidance must come from within, right? If I read you the Bible verses, oh, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill. And when you receive that word, it's very dry. Go home. You are lecturing me. I know it. But if one day Holy Spirit tells you, your body is a temple of God, you're going to start shaking inside of you. And that inspiration is going to run so deep that every time when you want to do something, you start shaking, go, what should I do? And then God's going to start fine-tuning, polishing. But everything start from the moment you recognize this big direction. Go, oh, God's work is inside of me. Inside of me. It's wonderful that all of you set aside a block of time. I know some of you take days off from work. You could be attending summer school and you're not doing that. You know. This is a wonderful deed. Community service. So far we are at a community service level. Community, wonderful deed. To keep all these children out of trouble. That's a wonderful thing. If you fail to connect to God in the process, whatever you do right here is community work. Some organization will give you a certificate. But that's not what we are doing. We wanted to use this opportunity to connect with God. If you want to connect with God, it must start from some inside of your head, your thoughts. Many of you thought, no one knows whether my thoughts are transformed, right? No one knows. Because it's deep inside, it's invisible, right? Can you see my thoughts? Can you see? The fact that you cannot see your face, that, you know, you're being deceived, that no one can see. The most beautiful picture I seen was every time, let's put it this way, in 2007, starting from 2007, I received an assignment to share a message. The night before that, I was very nervous. I couldn't sleep. I had a strange dream. I'm very nearsighted. Without my contact lenses, I cannot even see your faces. You know, I cannot see. So when Tiffany and Paulina were small, they always tricked me. Go, hey, this is Paulina. Well, hi, good. Because I cannot see. You know, I don't know which one is which. That's how nearsighted I am. The night before my assignment to share message, I dreamed that I need to fit in my contact lenses, and my contact lenses become the size of a tire. And I try to fit that in my small eye the whole night. I try to fold it, I try to squeeze it, I try to press it. I couldn't fit it in my contact lenses, and I was going, oh, now I'm in trouble. I need to ship message at 11, I cannot see Bible verses. What am I going to do? I started crying, you know. That's how nervous I was. And, well, I was right about that, because on that morning, I totally couldn't read my draft that I wrote out the previous day. I couldn't see. I was so nervous. My mind was totally blank. And I was going, what am I going to do? But during at that time, I started looking at the congregation face by face, one by one. And then the teaching began to come up. And then I finished the message. And it was at that moment I saw everyone's face. It's so beautiful. When a mind that received the message of God, you actually reflect on your face. So beautiful. I was so touched. I was going, wow, if I can freeze this picture, invite the congregation to come up here to see it, your life will be transformed just by looking at this picture. And I remember last year, I came here to see the presentation of music camp. I couldn't believe it. I still have that picture sitting in my heart. It was so beautiful. When I could see the difference of that presentation, how is that different than the previous one? The previous one, I could see that the students are all very nervous to try to memorize the lines. You know, I could see that. You know, they are thinking, they try to memorize it. But last year, I don't see that. I could see the adoration from their heart sing out, you know, and the understanding of God's word from their heart is all reflected on their face. That is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. And I still remember many, many years ago, it was also a music camp. That was the first time I met Sister Susan. I didn't know Susan before. Never met her before. But she was conducting a piece. And I look at her face, my tear just keep rolling down. The most beautiful picture I've ever seen. When a person's mind is combined with God's word and adoration and praises, you know. You don't know how your face looks like. It's so beautiful. So think about this. Your face actually flashes a lot of messages that you don't know. You don't know. Because you cannot see. The only time you get to see yourself is when you look in front of you. Now imagine that. When you talk to your student, go, God, you know, God loves you. He clearly tells them, I don't believe God loves you. Doesn't matter how you rehearse, if it's not from the bottom of your heart, it just don't show it. It's just like, oh, Caroline's lecturing me. God loves me. I don't know what she's up to. I don't know what she's up to, what he's up to, or you know. If you really understand and you share the heart of God, then when you look at a student, you look at a fruit fruit, you look at a life that wanted to be changed, then your face actually looks very different. The most scary face is the one that says, oh, God loves you, and it keeps flashing, no, I don't believe God loves you. Well, that is very scary. It does not edify students. So that's just to tell you how important that your mind actually needs to transform. If it's not transformed, you cannot fake it. You just cannot fake it. If you don't have life of God inside of you, you just cannot fake it. And that's, if you cannot fake it in front of a human being, later on, when you leave this world, it is so clear. It's so clear in the sight of God. God, you know I love you. You cannot fake it. One thing that stood out to me was the parable of the sheep and goats. If you look at that parable again, something quite interesting actually will stand out. A lot of us, we're used to the system of reports, great reports, your performance. You think, oh, my salvation will be evaluated based on my performance, right? That makes sense, right? If I did not perform, how am I going to pass? But if you look at the standard, it's very interesting. Jesus said, no, I know you. It's not based on your performance, whether you are transformed. Do you look like our Heavenly Father? Whether you have changed, it's not based on your performance. No, you're wrong. God's work is deeper than that. It's not performing. Oh, I just finished 1 week of performance. No, it's not. If during this week your life was not changed, then you know, God's work did not reach you. Now, we're going to do something very practical. We're going to practice on this one. Then, just now we talk about the changes inside our head. Okay? A lot of us thought, as long as I'm doing this for God, God will help me. I'm heading the right direction. You are wrong. You are wrong. You are only 50% correct. According to James chapter 3, verse 17, you know, the manner is very important. When do you need the wisdom? When you need solution, right? When you encounter challenges, the manner you use must be in agreement with God's divine character. Meaning that, I'm exaggerating this, you know. Prayers, God love you. Don't you know that? The manner does not agree with God's divine character. Can you begin to see that? Sometimes, we have a burning desire in our heart. We wanted to change the student, you know, this is a wonderful disciple, and I'm doing this for God. He's not even my kid, you know. I'm going through all these trouble to change him, you know. But he's not changing, so then you become very anxious, then your tone changes, you know, a lot of emotion come in, but you didn't know, like, go, be gentle, you know. You know. The manner, yes, you are doing it for God, you are sacrificing your time, yes, wonderful, wonderful. But the manner, I learned that lesson in a very peculiar way. I'll share with you. I was assigned to be a RE coordinator that 1 year, and I was all stressed out. I don't know how to be an RE coordinator. You know, what am I supposed to coordinate? My number one challenge came: RE monthly prayer, every student. You know, monthly prayer happened at 3 o'clock. You know, in the afternoon, after the morning service, the student are tired. When I ring the bell, the student begin to hide. Oh, pray. Oh, shoot. Carol saw me. Okay. And I start policing the parking lot. Why are you not in the chapel praying? Go to the chapel. What are you doing? You know? Oh, the teacher is chatting. You know, go quickly, you know. Then I went to the chapel. I sit in the back, the last pew. I was very satisfied. Oh, what a wonderful job I did. I got everyone, all the students and the teacher. They start counting. Kindergarten, E1, E2, G1, G2, senior class, and the teacher. Oh, everybody's here. Good job. I pat my shoulder. Well, good job, you know. When I was thinking that, a thought came in. I was gone. What is that again? Prayer is so beautiful, but the way I wrap it, present it to the student, is so inferior. That makes students feel, why are you not praying? Huh? Go pray, you know. I was going, but if I don't push them in the chapel to pray, then I fail my duties. You know, the Holy Spirit keep rebuking the manner I use is not in agreement with God's beautiful divine character. You know, prayer is so beautiful, but I use a very ugly wrapping paper to wrap it. Go pray, you know. Then I begin to cry, start crying again. So if I go to pray, student one, you know, why should I, you know? So I need to overpower their voice, you know. I need to become bigger so they are intimidated. So they listen to me, right? I cannot do this. The next time prayer comes, oh, can this prayer time? Yeah. Oh, no, of course not. Oh, Amanda, you know, change my mind. Oh, come later. Okay, all right, come later. You know, oops. 30%. Oh, so crying. No, it's not effective. And I begin to struggle. No. It's then I change. What did I do wrong? Then before the prayer, I started praying. Come. Inspire the student. Open their hearts. You know? Oh, stop praying. I start thinking about the prayer the week before. You know? I need to get the student and the teacher in the prayer. And that's how I learned. After one year, just ring the bell. I see everyone. They come in willingly. It took longer. Yes, it took longer. But a lot of time, because we are trained in this cooperation mode. We want efficiency, fast. When I'm efficient, I'm fast. I'm doing my best for the Lord. God must be very pleased. No, I don't. God's deeper. God's work is deeper than that. I didn't know. So this is just one example that the manner, if you want, every time when you teach people about God, when you are administering God's grace, the manner is very important. Even in a meeting, in a teacher's meeting, oh, let's talk about how to do this. Oh, that is dumb. How would people want to do that, you know? The manner you present your idea,
It could be different. It's beautiful to have different idea. But the manner, you must say it in a way that people can feel your gentleness. Go, oh, this is not a right way. Why? You need to be precise and clear, but need to be gentle. A lot of us, we don't know how. Oh, I cannot be gentle, so I hide. That's not a good way, but I wouldn't say it because I don't know how. No, you need to be honest and present your opinion, your different opinion, in a way that people can understand. That is a lot of prayer. That is a lot of prayer. Because number one, you need to be honest. Number two, you need to say it in a way they feel you are gentle, not you feel I'm gentle. Because a lot of time I feel I am very gentle. I don't want to say that, you know. But they don't feel I'm gentle. I have an issue. They don't feel my sincerity. That I'm not looking out for my interest. You know, it's for the church. A lot of time, because we feel, oh, it is for the church, so our voice becomes louder, right? Because it's not for myself. Why can you see this? You know, it's for the church. Everyone become, you know, very emotional about this. When your emotion come up, all the anger surface, you are not heading the right direction anymore. You're serving. You have become an instrument of Satan. You didn't know that. And you're still arguing and shouting in a meeting room. At that moment, you have already become an instrument of Satan. You are just borrowing God's banner. God, in the name of God, I'm chewing you up. You know, that is not right. So now we're going to do something. There are a lot of components. It took you probably 10 seconds to read this verse. And to practice this, it'll be a life journey. It took a long time to learn. Do you know what was my first component? Can you see from this list?
Wisdom.
Huh? Wisdom? Okay. To practice, you know, to make adjustment on the attitude, what would be the first component? Do you know the meaning of pure? The order is very interesting, but the wisdom that comes from heaven, from God, from your heavenly fathers is first of all, pure. It's all about the salvation of their soul. It's all about that. When you look at that in that perspective, then your attitude, your thoughts changes. It's all pure. And then peace-loving. How can you... Your word generate peace, promoting peace. Anything that you say will cause conflicts. Comparison, ranking, you will see, you know, it's inside of you. You need to have this verse memorized in your head. Memorize it. If you don't know what to say, what to do, it's okay to be silent. It's okay. A lot of time I was going, because my first thought is always from my original character. So now I learn. Go, okay, I need to think about it. The first component was actually impartial. I didn't know that. My heart was actually very partial, meaning that I actually have a lot of opinions. I'm a labeling machine. What I do the best and the quickest is labeling. Oh, this child is lazy. No, he does not want to learn. No, he will never change. If he has not changed in the past 10 years, I know why he's not changing, because of his family. He's from a problem family. Another label. Oh, labeling machine, you know. So the greatest challenge for labeling machine is impartial, meaning do not label. That was so hard. Because try it. Tell your heart, go, I'm not going to label today. Your heart will start giving out labels, whether you choose to label or not. Then you realize that it is automatic. Oops, I did not turn on the labeling. It is automatic. What's wrong? Why is it automatic? Then it takes a lot of prayer to turn that switch off. A lot of prayer. I never knew that you cannot turn off the switch, you know. You can go to a therapist. A lot of people have
dark thoughts, grieving thoughts, sad thoughts, angry thoughts, bitter thoughts, just automatically coming up to a point that begin to suffer physical, you know, condition, and they will go to a therapist. The therapist will point out, oh, these might be the causes, but they cannot help you to turn it off. They cannot. I have never heard therapists that could help you to turn off. If there is such therapist, you know, he'll have so many patients, you know, they cannot be turned off. So today, we're going to practice impartial heart. We're going to look at, let me give you one example. Before we practice impartial heart, just one last point. This is very, very true. A lot of you may think that, how can a human being have no anger, right? You will have anger. But whenever you have anger, that does not fulfill God's righteousness. Your servitude is about fulfilling God's kingdom. Anytime human anger surfaces within you, that's stage one. You, whatever inside of you does not fulfill God's purpose, you are heading the wrong direction. If you don't catch it at that point and let it surface out through your voices or languages, you have already become an instrument. Because you already have an action. So watch out the anger. Yes, anger is hard to overcome, but you must understand this anger of you does not fulfill. It's the wrong direction. So what we are talking about today is something very, very big. Not polishing the servitude. It's an you're going to wonder, why is this your reward, right? Do you wonder? Why is this your reward? What kind of gift is this? If every day you struggle about how to apply James 3:17, through that struggle, that's how you become mature. A lot of time we are very contradicting. There is a Chinese saying, 很多时候我们很好笑,我们自己不知道,我们很可笑, we are very funny. We read about Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God. Go, oh, how come I cannot wear armor of God? You thought you could, right? Because I'm going to grow up. But only a mature adult could put on the armor. Have you seen a little boy wearing armor? You cannot. It's very heavy. The reason you may not have the armor of God because you're not mature. And how can I be a mature person? This is how you become mature. You actually need to struggle. Use God's word to differentiate what is right, what is wrong. In every thought, in every action, in every perspective that you use to look at others, and specifically look at your students and look at your co-workers, every human being, you know, in the church, and you struggle and struggle, and that's how you become mature. Once you become mature, before you know it, you already have the armor of God put on. Interesting. Now you struggle, you try to wear that, you know, helmet. It's too heavy because you are still a little boy. So 我们可笑, 不知道, we are very funny, we don't know how contradicting we are. And when that happened, if you follow the right direction, God's never going to be angry at us if we are dumb, we are not learning. If you try your best to adjust, heading the same direction as God, He will equip you. But if you're walking the wrong direction, God, how come I don't get equipped? I thought God will equip you. Because you cannot see yourself. You're heading wrong direction, opposite. God cannot equip you because your direction is off. Now, we're going to do something. Can you, when, I think we can do this. We're going to look at two things. How does an impartial heart, because this is number one. If you go back James 3:17,
Remember all the quality mentioned? Submissive, sincere. If your heart is partial, it cannot be sincere. Your language could be sincere and polite, but not your heart. So everything starts from partial. If you need to stop labeling, and let God's word, use God's word to view others. Once you could see how God looked at that picture, then from that huge picture, you could see where are you. Then you begin to see, this is the work God wanted to do. This will impact this. How can we bring our student to the presence of God? If you cannot see God's picture, and you cannot see your small role in the picture, you cannot guide a student to God. You cannot. I hope we will have time to think about this. This is a big, these are the points. I hope each one of you could take home and think about it. We are in 2014, right? In 2012, I come across a person. I really didn't know what to do. A person who is at the suicidal stage of her depression. When I actually did not know that sister at all. It just in a random case, she was living at Lulu's house, and Lulu, you know, Lulu had a very happy personality. Everyone know that. Nothing worried her. You know, this is just her original character. And we usually walk at El Dorado Park, and that day Lulu said, oh, I'm so worried. Lulu is worried. That's very rare. What do you worry about? She said, oh, I have a friend living in my house. When I leave, I don't know if I should stay at house or come out to walk with you. I said, why? Just what? You know, she said, every time when I leave the house, I don't know when I go back if she's going to be alive or not. Oh, that is very serious, very scary. I said, why? She said, because this friend of mine is at suicidal stage, so she cannot leave her house. So I invited her to live with me. But now, after that invitation, I worry every day. Is she going to, you know, jump off the house in the middle of the night? Is she going to do something? She look. Then I go, say, hey, Carol, why don't you come over, invite her to walk? And says, okay, yeah, no problem. So we went to her house after that. When I walk into the living room, I was in shock because I saw a person with no facial expression. Her eyeball doesn't move, just like a piece of furniture. Facial expression. So I went to her, hello, hi. Do you mind if we pray with you? No responses. Oh, I probably should run and face her so that she could see me. So I even run up. Hello, my name's Carol. And then we started to pray with her. And then after the prayer, she still looked the same. She did not change. And I go, do you want to walk with us? And then we started to walk. And that became a journey for me because I don't know what should I do with a person who does not respond, who doesn't talk. I started this one-sided conversation, you know, for 1 hour. Where is uncle? So stressed. Doesn't talk. And no facial expression. So I said, should I prepare a draft, right? Then eventually I ran out of stuff to say. I introduced my family. Do you know something? I have 2 daughters. Oh, do you know something? What should I say? Continue. Although she had no facial expression, I really would want to give up because I was thinking, what if she collapsed and died in the park? Should I call 911? What should I do? What is her condition? I cry. I'm just going to rely on God. You know, she needs to be connected with God. And I don't know how to connect a person with God. So every day I started to pray. And then I share with her my inspiration of the day. Whatever my passage I read about, and I start talking to her, oh, do you know something? There was this Bible character named Joseph. I read about the story, it was quite interesting. Oh, she's still the same person. And after a while, I didn't know what I said on that day. She started to cry in the middle of the trail. She started to cry, large tears. I was so scared, girls. Is this a symptom of giving up or heartbrokenness? What's going to happen after this, you know? Then she started going, wow, so wonderful to be able to cry. And then she, as we walk every day, I didn't know. Later on, she became a teacher. Now she's my teacher. She taught me so much. And she said, every day when you say something, you know, from the Bible, the verse came in and start to fight against all the dark thoughts in my head, all the dark thoughts. She said, I never knew I had those thoughts going to harm me. She didn't know that. She said she didn't know. And the thoughts actually start pushing out the dark thoughts inside. Some of them are already living in there for a long time. And she started to tell me about the changes, how God's word helped her and adjusting everything inside. And then she go, wow, that is quite amazing. It's so happy when inside of you is changing. It's very joyful. It's not suffering. It's very joyful. And since then, I was going, I learned, I could begin to see God want us to connect everyone, to bring everyone to His presence. So the Holy Spirit inside of that person can work within her. Before, when I guide someone, I have a curriculum, I have a plan, I have a lot of things. You know, stage one transformation, stage two, stage three, you know, they need to meet this, you know, goal. And then I realized that, it's different. And that became a journey. So today, I just want you to think about when you guide a student to the presence of God, our focus is not guiding. Actually, our focus is about which part I need to be changed so that student can be changed. Which part inside of me need to be changed so that the student can be changed. Can you see the change of perspective? And that becomes guiding a student to the presence of God. Interesting. We actually run out of time. Maybe you could do these two exercises together with Bina's exercise. It's actually going to be a journey. So you can share with other counselors and the team students. It's a very interesting journey. You starting from this point. You cannot imagine. This is actually beyond your imagination. How beautiful God's work is. So beautiful, so deep. It's just amazing. And it would be wonderful if everyone could be connected to God, see this, and let God do the work inside of you. It's so beautiful. And you actually run deep. After 16 years, I always wondered, will it go deeper and deeper? How deep is it going to reach? It actually go deeper and deeper and still going deeper. And I was going, wow, I've never experienced that. That is so beautiful. So anyway, that concludes my sharing. So let's say a silent prayer together. Amen. So in the next 5 days, Lina had put together a very beautiful presentation. Did you email the link to them? Because you're going to learn one component every day. One component. And if you really, you learned it and you pray about it, it's going to be fulfilled in your life. And this journey is going to be so beautiful. And I hope next year you can teach this class. Because everyone will have a different journey. We all have different journeys. And it's going to be really beautiful. Okay.